Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Now that's exciting, that he has reached down in his grace and his love and his economy, his plan for you and for me, and has put his hand on us and made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. That there, he has the ability and the power to put within us the warmth and the way of approaching the ministry of the New Testament of Jesus Christ in such a way so that it brings forth life. It does not kill. It's not oppressive, but it's freeing, it's releasing. And we're all a part of that. And that's why we're here this week, primarily to find out how to do that job better that God has called us to do. So welcome, relax, enjoy the time, let God use you, and let God speak to you. Before we actually look into this job description this morning, I'd like to share a little Bible study that I did recently related to Acts 20:28. At our last RD meeting, we spent quite a bit of time on this passage and related passages in studying this whole issue of the job of a Christian leader. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 20:28. That's one of the prominent passages in the New Testament related to church order. And verse 28 is the key verse in the whole passage, particularly as it relates to what we're going to be talking about this morning, not only here in this session, but in our discussion groups and then in the feedback session this afternoon. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'd like to call your attention to three words in that passage that relate to this whole issue of what is our job as a Christian leader, as taking responsibility for the oversight of people. The first word is prosecho. It's the word take heed. And there are two things that we're to take heed to. First of all, ourselves. And the implication here is that we are to be pace setters. And the second thing is take heed to the flock for whom we are responsible. Now this word means to turn one's attention to set one's mind on, in the sense of caring or providing for. It's to be a focal point of our attention. It's not just a sideline. It is something that is to be primary in our thinking processes. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves that you, that I am walking the kind of life that is an example to those for whom we are responsible, but then also we are to take heed to the flock for whom we are responsible. The second word is episkopos. This is the word that we commonly use in the English language for bishop, overseer. It comes from two words in the Greek, epi, meaning over, and skopeo, meaning to look for, or look out for, or watch out for. And that verse is used, that word is used in a number of passages that relate directly to what our subject is, Titus 1:7. 1 Timothy 3:2, which we're going to spend a good deal of time on Thursday night in just looking at the qualifications of an episkopos as it's related to us in 1 Timothy 3:2. It's also used in Philippians 1:1, 1 Peter 2:25. A.T. Robertson, who is one of the greatest Greek scholars that ever lived, says that this word comes from an old Greek word which I can't even pronounce. It's a real long one, episkateratomai or something like that. But it means to inspect. To inspect. Now, the verb form of that is found within the word episkopos, skopeo, means to look at, to consider. It's the word that we get our English word scope from, not the mouthwash, but telescope, microscope. To look at closely, to inspect very diligently. It implies deep mental concentration. It means to view attentively, to watch, to reconnoiter. It's used a number of places in the New Testament. Luke 11:35 is a very interesting use of it. If you've got your Bible, flip over there. Verse 34 says, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is sound, your whole body is full of light. But when it is not sound, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful." That's the word. Inspect. Give much attention to. Look deeply into. "Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness." Now, the noun form of this, skopos, means to be a watcher or a watchman. It's used in the Septuagint in Ezekiel for the word watchman, as it's all throughout that book. It's only used once. The noun form, skopos, is only used once in the New Testament, and it's in a very interesting passage, Philippians 3:14. "I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The word for goal there is this word skopos. So it has inherent in it the idea of setting a goal, of keeping our eye on something toward which we are heading. Now, this is a very interesting concept, this word, to me, particularly as it relates to the navigators, because, as you well know, there are rumblings throughout the navigators. That's a gentle way to say it. As to whether we really ought to evaluate or not, whether we ought to have any kind of evaluation forms or take inventory of our ministry or be that careful in the analysis of it. Well, the very meaning of this word, episkopos, has latent within it the whole idea of evaluation, with the end in view to help and change and to improve the situation or the people. That's the goal. But evaluation is very deeply rooted in this word for overseer, or our Greek word, bishop, or suite. We don't use that today in a sense that it was meant earlier. It's more of an office now. Now, in Acts 20:17, Paul talks about the elders having met with him. And that is a different word. It's a word, presbyteros. I guess the word from Presbyterian comes from that. I don't know. Presbytery. Now, it is generally agreed that elder and bishop, or this word presbyteros and episkopos, are always referring to the same individual man or group of men. But they have a slightly different meaning. Elder speaks to what the man is in himself, his character. It speaks to the position that he holds, the office that he has, the dignity that goes with that position. Whereas the word episkopos or bishop speaks to the issue of the job itself. What is he supposed to do? And that's the thing we want to spend our time on this week. What is the job of this individual? We are not so much concerned with his title, his rank, the office that he holds. We are very concerned with the job that he is supposed to do. Now, the third word is paimano, which means to act as a shepherd, to tend. It means it's the idea latent in the the matter of shepherding. So in summary, we could say that the three major responsibilities of an elder toward those for whom he is responsible are represented in these three words, proseko, to keep his primary attention on them. It's the idea of this one thing I do, not these 20 things I dabble at. My primary attention and focus and concern is for those people, the flock, over the which the Lord hath made me overseer. The second word, episkopos, to be a watchman, to evaluate, to constantly look over in the sense of inspecting or observing closely so as to thoroughly know my people, to help them grow and develop, and perhaps them even help them even set goals for themselves. Proverbs 27:23, know well the state of thy flocks. And then the third word, paimano, to shepherd them, to feed them, to minister to their needs. Now in our discussion, Ray Ho mentioned to us a passage from Ezekiel that he had been doing some meditating on that relates to this matter of shepherds. In fact, his name is even used in it, and so he was making direct application of it. Ezekiel 34, verses 2 through 4, says, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, Ho! Shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the crippled you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. God forbid that that should be our approach to this matter of shepherding and being under shepherds to the people who God has given us the responsibility for. Okay, if you'll take your the sheets that you've got there, the job description and qualifications for a state director, with that little passage in Acts 20 as a background. And we'll, as I said, get more into it from 1 Timothy 3 later on in the week. I'd just like to run through this quickly, give you a little bit of assignment, answer any questions for clarification, and then we'll go to our discussion groups. What I've done is, well, how this came into being, first of all, is we had spent almost a whole day on it at the last RD meeting that we had in putting together a set of qualifications and then a job description that flowed flowed out of that. And these are the things that we felt were primarily the job for a state director. However, we want your input on this. That's why we're spending the better part of the day on this, to get your input, any thoughts or ideas or suggestions, improvements or changes that you may have. But let's briefly run through it. I've divided it into five basic categories. And let's go through it in that way. The first one is the home responsibility that a state director has, which is item A, to maintain his own personal walk with the Lord and an exemplary biblical home atmosphere for his wife, children, and guests. Perhaps it could be personal and home responsibilities. The second is his primary ministry responsibility, which to me is represented by B, C, and I. And we may want to rearrange these a little later, depending on what comes out of the discussions. The primary ministry responsibility, B, to shepherd the staff so as to ensure continued growth in their personal lives. That relates to them as individual people and with particular concern for their lives. C, to evaluate and help develop the staff in their ministries, ministry related. And then I, to maintain a high degree of morale and esprit de corps among the staff in the state, to watch out for their individual welfare and their welfare as a group. And that four leadership criteria that you're familiar with, I'm sure, these are two of them. The way you can determine whether or not you are doing a good job as a leader is, are the people under you, do they have good morale? Is their esprit de corps high? Are they well disciplined? By that I mean, are they willing to lay down their own little ideas and pet hobbies and so forth for the good of the group? Are they disciplined as a group of men or people? And then fourthly, are they proficient? Have they been well trained to do the job that we are asking them to do? And the degree to which we have been successful as leaders in those four areas is the degree to which we have been successful as a leader. The third thing, or the third major category that I would put in here, is the recruiting, training, and sending responsibilities. And perhaps that could be captioned in just our equipping responsibility. That would be D, E, and J. D would be to be constantly on the alert for good men who are staff potential, help recruit them, and plan their initial training. And then E, to recommend and provide qualified people for their worldwide mission program, the sending aspect. And then another part of that, to encourage select NAV-trained alumni toward other Christian works. And also toward our present missions associate program, missionary associate program. The fourth major category to me would be our the management responsibility, which would be F, G, and K, to plan and coordinate the activities of the state. That's part of management, planning and organizing. G, to constantly be thinking regionally, not only just thinking about my state or my states, but how does that fit in with what's going on in the region? And then to coordinate that or relate it, his state objectives, to regional plans and serve on the regional team. And then K, the administrative aspect of that, to manage the administration pertaining to the state in accordance with regional and headquarters policies and procedures. So that would be the management responsibility, those three items. And then the last one would be the financial responsibility, to develop and maintain a high percentage of income to budget in the state, accept responsibility for other NAV financial needs regionally, nationally, and globally. So those are five major categories: personal and home, primary ministry responsibility, equipping responsibility, management, and financial. Any questions on that, just for clarification? Or yes,
John? Four areas under primary ministry. Four questions to ask, or four.
What is he asking? I don't remember what I said.
About leadership,
Oh, on the leadership thing. Oh, morale, esprit de corps, discipline, proficiency. Anything else? Now, I'm not going to go through the qualifications with you. There are 11 of them there. It wasn't necessarily planned that we had 11 items on the job description and 11 qualifications. There is not necessarily a relationship there. It just worked out that way. I have gone over this pretty thoroughly since our RD conference, and I personally think that we missed on a giant qualification. But I'll leave that to your discretion, and if you see a loophole in it, why, you can plug it in. We'll see what happens.
You're saved, don't
you? That's one of the assumptions we made, Skip. Any questions on the qualifications for clarification? Okay, here's what I'd like to have you do in your discussion groups. Three things. First of all, go over both the job description and the qualifications. Make any changes that you feel would be helpful. Delete, add to, expand upon. Don't get too bogged down in the way things are worded. We'll do a rehash on that with some wordsmiths later on. But people like McGilchrist and Betty Skinner and those kind of people and Unger are very good at that type of thing, you know, putting words together. So don't get hung up on the way things are worded, unless it's, you know, really a significant issue. Like I said, go over those qualifications carefully. To me, those are probably as important, if not more important, than the job description itself. And make sure that we haven't omitted something, or if we've put something in there that you don't qualify for, well, you probably want to delete that. Then the second thing I'd like to have you do is, and these are in order of priority. In other words, if you don't get to number two, that's okay, but be sure you do one. Then, if you have time, I hope you really get to this, though. To speak to the issues of what is the maximum or minimum responsibility that a state director should have. In other words, for a man to be in this job, to have this responsibility placed upon him, to be called a state director, to be a part of a regional team, what should be the minimum that we should ask of him to do in terms of number of staff, span of control, possibly size of budget, home, missions, geography. You know, you make the rules. You make the ground rules. But talk about this. What should be the maximum? I mean, how much does a state director have to have before he really is a regional director? I think it'd be a very interesting discussion. In fact, I'd like to sit in on that. Then the third thing, if you have time, the above job description is written primarily for what we would call a generalist. He is a man who, in all likelihood, will have under him collegiate, military, possibly community. Maybe two of the three, possibly all three. Could we or should we have state directors who are solely and strictly specialists, who only should be responsible for collegiate ministries, or for military ministries, or for community ministries? And if so, what are the implications of that in our organizational structure? And how would we handle it? Is it worth even considering? What are the advantages, disadvantages of it? So I think if you speak to those three issues, it'll keep you going for how much time we got. We're letting in a little bit early here. But I think that should make a very interesting hour and a half discussion. And hopefully I'd really like to see you get to two, and maybe some of you get to item three there.